One day a person came to me and said, Wayne, you know, the church is growing and all, but what happened to the heart? I said, it's still there. They said, no, we don't see it. I said, it's still there. Well, I went home a little angry, but the Lord showed me something. He says, yeah, Wayne, so here was your heart. Boom, boom, boom. And you grew. You added stuff to it. Your heart was still beating. But after you add so many things, pretty soon the heart is still there, but you can't see the heart because you have so much stuff going on. He said, if you're going to grow, you have to grow a bigger heart.
Pastor Wayne one time said, it's not about our smarts, it's all about our hearts. Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Today, the conclusion of a message Pastor Wayne gave back in the early days of New Hope West, entitled, The Church, It's the People. Here's Pastor Wayne.
Now, every member has a different function. So what brings unity in our body and brings health? Not that everything does the same thing, but that one member applauds the other and encourages that member to do what it's supposed to do. And that other member encourages the other member to do. For example, the stomach is different from the mouth. The mouth tastes and chews, so good. Doesn't do much more than that. The stomach has to do all the work. Puts the bile in it, the acids in it, has to digest the thing and separate the good from the bad, and allow the good stuff to be cordoned off to be put into the muscles and into nutrition. The stomach does so much more. What if the stomach said, hey, I can't taste anything. You get all of the flavor and everything. I get the bile. This is no good. What if the lung said, well, I have to breathe to keep you alive? And that's not easy all the time. And look at your eyes. All you don't do any work. You just sit there and watch. And what if the eye said to the other eye about the nose, hey, between you and me, something smells. That's a good one. I like that one. Yeah. See, if you don't send me jokes, I have to make them up. So send me some. But if the body started fighting with each other because we didn't look, act, think, talk alike, that's what's happening in our country. We all want to act, think, talk alike. And even though we talk about variety, there's no variety. But unity happens not when everyone conforms to the same thing, but when everyone has found, discovered, and are using their gifts, and we applaud each other. Some of you have been given a gift to serve, some to pray, some to be children's workers, and we applaud each other. Let's go for it. Now, you have to understand, when I say build healthy relationships, you're not always going to have people you always like all the time. Because if you think about it, the church isn't perfect. I mean, don't look at the person next to you. Just stare straight ahead, and we'll be fine. But it's not perfect. No. I remember a bumper sticker that said something like this. I love God. It's his disciples I can't stand. And I thought, I can relate. I can relate because I love God, but some of the disciples, they're a little neurotic. This is a mythical story, but it holds a pretty true principle. A story is told when Jesus ascended to heaven. The angels gathered around him and said, you brought redemption and you have the gospel that'll bring salvation to millions. That gospel, what a treasure. Where, in whose hands did you put the gospel in? And Jesus said, the disciples. The angels said, oh, no. No, the gospel is the power of God and salvation. You can't leave it to them. They're going to bungle it up. This is the treasure of eternity, the gospel. You put it in whose hands? People's hands. No. The angel said, no, you have to have another plan. You have to have another plan. And Jesus looked at them and said, I have no other plan. You see, you and I have been given the most beautiful treasure of all, and that's the treasure of the gospel, that if shared, if lived, it can bring so many people to Christ. Now, some people say, you know, Wayne, but God is good. But people are weird. And I don't want to be a part of that church. How many people I've talked to, even on airplanes, I'll get to know them and then they'll find out that I'm a pastor and they'll say to me, oh, I used to go to church. You know what I'm talking about? I used to go to church. Why don't you anymore? You know what the majority of them answer? Ah, there was a problem and I don't go anymore. And I can relate because I run into those walls too. But here's something that God used to really help me, because I know the church is imperfect and we've got some problems and we're still fixing them, etc. But because people are human. But the church is the bride of Christ. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That's biblical. Now, what if someone said to me, Wayne, I really like you. Your wife, I can't stand. How do you think that would make me feel? Like, ouch. But I wonder if we say that to Christ sometimes. I love you. It's your bride I can't stand. So then when I thought about that, I thought, you know what? The church is imperfect, but we got to work with it because that's all we got. And let's make it the best ever. Can you say amen to that? Let's make it the best. Let's make this last day's church one of the best that God can use and that God loves to get involved. In fact, I would love to hear, as it were in the spirit, the applause of heaven when God looks on this church to say, that's the church I died for. So we're going to do everything we can to make sure that our foundations are deep, our theology is good. So the first is this: build healthy relationships. Take the time to build healthy relationships. We'll talk more about that in future messages, but let me go to the second. The second is this. Please work hard at this. Discover and then use your gifts. Because the Bible says we don't all have the same function, but we have gifts. So discover and then start using your gifts. Let's read the scripture here under it, and it'll come up on the board. Would you read it with me nice and loudly? Go. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. In other words, he's saying, here's a bunch of gifts. Whatever God has given to you, go for it. Because you see, when you're using your gift, you will have maximum efficiency and minimum weariness. If you're not utilizing your gift, then you will have maximum weariness and minimum efficiency. So he says, if it's to serve, serve. If your gift is to teach, teach. Find a place and start teaching. If it's to give, give. If it's to lead, lead. If your gift is to sing, sing. If your gift isn't to sing, don't sing. I'm going to show you some things. In fact, if you could bring the whiteboard out. Thank you. God gives each of us a gift, and it's often in the form of a dream or a vision or a hope or an aspiration. If you recall last week, we talked about it's in potential form, but it's in there. You feel that. There's a sense inside of you. I'd like to do something in this area or that area. And what you do is you have to sort of discover where it is. Well, where could that be? Well, there's people that have certain passions. It could be to teach, or it could be to work with children. What's your passion? Well, I'd like to, you know, pray, or I want to counsel, I want to run technical things, or whatever it might be. God has given everybody here a gift and an aspiration of what they can do for God. Just like Dave and Della saying, you know, we've got a gift and we'd like to be able to utilize that for the furtherance of the church and the gospel. So people can come and they'll see that there's the environment is excellent. So if the environment's excellent, then there must be some measure of excellence in the program or the people here. So we want to make sure that everything is honoring to Christ. Well, they have a passion. Now, if you also, and this is very important, Because people have passions, you know, but if you put the heart of Jesus behind it, it's called a compassion. And that word compassion, or that CO, means a partnering with. So you're partnering with the heart of God in your passion. So you're saying, Lord, what's your heart? How can I utilize this passion that I have for your glory? I want to do it with your spirit. So it's not what I do, it's the heart with which I do what I do that makes what you do something beautiful for God. So it's the heart of God. So that's called a compassion. And how many of the miracles you'll find that it says, and Jesus, having moved with compassion, healed the man. Jesus, being moved with compassion, opened the eyes of the blind. So it's your passion, but it's with the heart of Jesus. It's not just, well, I like to sing. No, how can God utilize my singing for his glory? See that? It's different. And then your passion being utilized will be supported by a gift that God gives you. So once you start using your gift, all of these start to flow. But a lot of times we never get here. We stop here. We got a passion for, and then it goes offline at that point. Keep going. And over the next few weeks, we want to talk about how to utilize your gift so that God can bless and anoint it and use it for his glory. If we just come to church, it's sort of like this. And if we don't serve, think of a sponge. If I pour some water on and turn the faucet on, what happens to that sponge? Gets saturated, right? Now, once that sponge is saturated, if I wanted to absorb more water, what if I turn the faucet up more? Will it absorb more water if it's already saturated? Okay, what if I turn it up 5 times much? Will it get any more saturated? What if I dump it in a barrel of water? Will it get any more absorbent? No, once it's saturated, it can't take any more. The only way to return it to its original absorbency is you've got to take that sponge and what? You got to squeeze it out. You got to wring it out. And once you do, then the absorbency is restored immediately and it can take more. And then you have to what? Squeeze it out again. And then it becomes absorbent. That's how God made you. That he made you to receive a ton of stuff. But after a while, you can see Christians sitting in churches, they're saturated. They got it all kind of. And then if you don't start squeezing your sponge or using your gifts, you'll become, watch this, you'll mark my words, you'll become lethargic as a Christian. And you'll just look for distractions till Jesus takes us home. But the Lord is saying, I want you to squeeze out your sponge and use it for something of the kingdom of God. And when you do, there will be a vibrancy that returns. There'll be something of an absorbency. You say, well, I'm just one person. There's not much I can do. No. Never think that way. John Salisbury, back in the 70s, was on radio in Portland, and he gave a very interesting analogy or about one vote. And it's called One Vote. Let me read it to you. It goes like this. In 1777, one vote gave us the English language rather than the German. 1845, one vote brought Texas into the Union. 1868, one vote saved Andrew Johnson from being impeached. 1876, one vote gave Rutherford B. Hayes the presidency. 1923, one vote gave Adolf Hitler control of the Nazi Party. One vote. You see, never think that just because you're one, you can't do anything. Oh, no. I love the little story. It's a children's story of a little boy that went out onto the beach and hundreds of starfish had laid waste on the beach because the tide went out so quickly, filled with just hundreds of starfish. So he'd pick one up and throw it into the ocean. Then he'd go over and pick up another one and throw it back into the water. And a man came by and said, you're not going to make any difference. You look at all of the starfish here. They're all dying. He He said, what difference are you going to make picking up a starfish? The little boy picked up another starfish, and he threw that one in the ocean. And he said, for that starfish, I made a big difference. And you see, the same is true with you and me. Don't ever think that the world is full of problems, so there's nothing we can do. Oh, yes, we can. For one person's life, we can change that by a word of encouragement. Just like Mary's greeting that reached Elizabeth's ears, and bang, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. One person. So the first is build healthy relationships. Take time for that. And the other is begin to discover and use your gifts. And you'll be able to do that here. But the third and final is this. Serve when you do. Serve with a joyful and a glad heart. Oh, don't serve because you have to. Serve because you get to. Let's read Deuteronomy 28. Would you read it out loud? Here it comes. Go. This is, by the way, pretty sobering, but let's read it. Go. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your... Ouch. Now, we're going to read that again. Listen carefully. God does not want you to serve him. He wants you to serve him with a joyful and a glad heart. Because God can get robots to serve him. God can get non-Christians to serve him. But God's people, he says, I want you to serve with a joyful and a loving and a glad heart, because it's the heart that'll reach a heart. A mind will reach a mind, but only a heart can reach a heart. And as we serve with a joyful and a glad heart, then God can use it. If we don't, the enemy has a foothold. Let's read it again, nice and loudly. Would you? Go. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with a joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve. Yeah, wow. See, in the beginning, all we had was heart, but that's what God used. But after a while, things started to get more complicated. We got chairs, we got equipment, we got stuff, but you know what we started to lose? Was that original heart. People still began to serve, but it wasn't as joyful as it was. One day a person came to me and said, Wayne, the church is growing and all, but what happened to the heart? I said, it's still there. They said, no, we don't see it. I said, it's still there. They said, I don't think so. Well, I went home a little angry. I said, Lord, we still have heart. But the Lord showed me something. He says, yeah, Wayne, so here was your heart. And you grew. You added stuff to it. Your heart was still beating. But after you add so many things, pretty soon the heart is still there, but you can't see the heart because you have so much stuff going on. He said, if you're going to grow, you have to grow a bigger heart so that you grow heart first and not program first, heart last. And as I was praying, the Lord sort of gave me this picture. He said, I want you to grow your heart, but until that happens, I want you to prune back to heart. You keep pruning until the heart of the people is seen again, and then grow. And as you grow, you're going to add stuff. But if all of a sudden it gets overtaken, there's an overgrowth of stuff and programs and activities, and there's no heart, prune back to the heart. So here you're growing. Where's the heart? Where's the heart? I don't know. Prune back. Oh, there it is. Boom, boom. Good. Boom. Now grow commensurately to the heart. Oh, where's the heart? I don't know. Prune back. Boom, boom. There it is. And as I grow your heart, I'll grow my church. Because people need to see the heart of Christ in us. Can you say amen? Let me finish with this story of a man I hoped God would not bring to our church. But he did. We were meeting in a high school and growing quickly, and this man came in and sat in the front row, and he looked like he was mad at the world. I'd never seen him before, sat right about there. And so I would be speaking, and he would just fold his arms like this, and his mouth would be turned down. He looked like he was baptized in lemon juice. And so after the service was done, because he was distracting, you know, I'm trying to keep things with levity and light, and he's just frowning at me. So I'd smile twice as much to him, and he just sat there. Well, after the service was done, he left. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. Maybe that's the last time I'll see him. And then the next Sunday, he came and sat on the same chair. Same scowl, same folded arms. So I thought, you know, I'm going to make this guy smile. So I pulled out my best, you know, dog and pony jokes and tricks and nothing. Scowled at me. So finally, he left after the church service was done, and I prayed, Lord, send him to, you know, the Baptist church or something. God, please, please. I can't have him sitting on the front row like that. It's bothering me. The third week, he comes again. I thought, man, this guy has been sent by the devil, I know, to test me. So I thought, I'm going to dance and do the jig if I have to, because I want to make this guy smile. When it was done, same thing. Scowl, and he left. I thought, God, please don't send him to this church, please. Well, so I'm talking with some people, and about 5 minutes later, he comes around and he says, and he waits like this. So I'm finished talking to people, and like, you know, I'm kind of ignoring him like this, and so he just waits. So finally, he gets up to the front. And so I said, hi. He said, I decided to make this my home church. I said, wonderful. Can you see how excited I am? He said, well, it's not because of you. I said, wonderful. This makes me feel super. He said, yeah. So I said, well, what was it? He said, well, I first came a couple weeks ago. I said, yes, I remember very succinctly. He said, yeah, and I watched you, and I thought that smile was fake. It's plastic. You probably go to sleep with a smile and wake up with a smile. I said, well, it depends on my dreams, but yeah, sometimes, I guess. He said, well, it wasn't you. So I said, okay. He said, but after church, I went to the back to get some coffee. I said, yeah. And he told me the story. He was getting some coffee, and there was a bunch of college kids that are part of the church. And he got coffee, and he said, I stepped backwards, and I stepped off of a ledge of a cement walkway, and there was a ledge, and there's grass here, and I didn't know that there was a little drop-off from the cement, and I twisted my ankle, and I began to fall backwards headlong. Behind me was a lava rock wall. If you know anything about lava rock, that'll cut you to shreds. He said, so I could not hold myself up, and I began to fall. And he said, just then, a couple of the college kids that are in the church jumped in between me and the wall, and one of the kids slid down the wall as he held on to me, opened his back up, just lacerated his back, cut his shirt open. And as I picked myself up, I looked at this kid, and he's bleeding, and I said, I'm so sorry, said this man to the college kid. And the college kid said, oh, no, just as long as you're safe, sir, that's all that matters to me. I'm honored to be a part of what God is wanting to do. And he said, as soon as he heard that, he said, I knew this is my home church. I tried to find the name of that college kid to let him know what I thought, but... But you see, it's not necessarily just what happens up here, it's what happens here. That's where the heart of Jesus is seen. And so when we serve the Lord with a joyful and a glad heart, people begin to see the kingdom of God in action. And the way we relate to one another, and when we're serving with joy, oh, that makes more difference than you'll ever realize. So the church is the people. God has done great things. He will continue to do that, not only in us, but now through us. If you're here and you've never allowed Jesus to do what he wants to do in you, today's the day. The Bible says, behold, this is a day of your salvation. Today is a day of your salvation. The Lord may have orchestrated this whole service just for you to let you know that he wants to do something in you and through you. Even as those of us who are Christians, God's saying, I've done something good in you. I'm going to continue to do that. But now I want to move that through you so I can squeeze that sponge, because that's what a thirsty world is waiting for. The water of life that I gave to you. Now give it away through your gifts, through serving, through loving. That's when they see the heart of Jesus. But for those of you that have never allowed Jesus into your heart, today's the day. Let him begin that The scripture says when you do that, it'll be like springs of living water rushing from your soul.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Church, It's the People by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow, a look at the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you think your world is getting a little too hot to handle, you won't believe what these guys went through. We hope you'll join us. Until then, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord. Aloha.
So the first is build healthy relationships. Take time for that. And the other is begin to discover and use your gifts. And you'll be able to do that here. But the third and final is this. Serve when you do, serve with a joyful and a glad heart.